You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
All right, so as like I said earlier, we're right now here at Trinity, we're in the middle of this 40-day challenge. Where we seek to put the keystone habits of Jesus into practice in our lives. And the keystone habit is a habit like any other habit, except that habit overflows into other areas of our lives. So a keystone habit, for example, would be like exercising, right? If you exercise, you're more likely to eat better. You're more likely to get better sleep. So it's a habit that we put into our lives that overflows into other areas of our lives. And so far, we've looked at three keystone habits of Jesus: to commit to community, to study scripture, and to prioritize prayer. All right, and so those are three that we've already looked at. This week, we're going to look at that fourth keystone habit of Jesus: to seek solitude. Right, and this is a habit that has really been instrumental in my faith, my life growth, especially over the last about 6 months of my life, because I never really had a good practice of solitude. I never really had a good practice of rest. I was someone that I would just go and I would go and I would go until all of a sudden my body's like, nope, you're not going anymore, and I'd crash. Right, I knew that after Easter, I just planned to take a week off, not for vacation, but because I'd probably get sick, because my body had gone and gone and gone, and finally the adrenaline ran out, and then I just crashed. Same with the week after Christmas. I just plan on it. But that's not how our bodies are built, right? Our bodies aren't built to go, 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 and then crash. But it is what most of us usually do. So a few years ago, I really started diving into this area of rest and what it looks like to find rest, what it looks like to Sabbath, to slow down and to stop. And I started to understand the concepts, but I really didn't understand what it actually looked like in my life. Right? So that's what I want to, consider is, what does that look like? What does it look like to rest? What does it look like to seek solitude? Does it look like my life usually does, where you just go as hard as you can until your body forces you to rest? Or does it look like, maybe spending all day Saturday and all day Sunday laying on the couch watching football or watching golf, because I know that makes me rest, or reading a book, right, or watching a movie? Is that what rest looks like? Or does it look like going to church on Sunday morning and checking off the Sabbath box and then going off on the rest of your day? Well, before I get too far into going down what I want it to look like or what I think Sabbath rest looks like, instead let's take a look at the life of Jesus and see what it looked like for him to seek solitude, to find rest. And it's actually really amazing how often Jesus was in solitude. And it's interesting because we talked about committing to community. Next week, we're going to talk about choosing church, which has a communal element to it. So we have these communal pieces, but at the same time, it's important to seek solitude. And Jesus had an incredible way of balancing all of those, right? He was in community with others, but he also spent a significant amount of time with just him and God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to quickly take a look at Mark chapter 1. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, again, Mark chapter 1, if you want to use one of those pew Bibles in front of you, that's on page 837. But there's a lot that goes on in the first chapter of Mark. Because initially, like, Mark just gets going. Matthew and Luke, we get a couple chapters of the Christmas account and, the story of the birth of Jesus and his early childhood. But Mark's like, no, we're just going, right? So already in verse 14, Jesus is beginning his ministry and he begins to preach the good news. Then in verses 16 to 20, Jesus goes out and he calls his disciples. And then he goes into the synagogue, the church of the day, to teach and preach. And as he's teaching, there's a man that starts to yell. And the man is not yelling like, preach it, Jesus. No, the man is possessed by a demon. And so Jesus takes some time while he's teaching to heal that man and to cast out the demon. And while people are watching, they're amazed. And then immediately after a teaching in the synagogue, immediately after healing the demon, that's where, like me on Sunday morning, I just want to go home and crash. But Jesus, he goes with his new disciples. He goes to Peter's house, and there he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then we read in verse 32 of Mark chapter 1, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, right? That's a day, right? That's a day that by the end of it, I just want to go home. I want to accidentally forget to turn off my alarm for the next day, lay down, and the moment my head hits the pillow, just crash, right? And sleep in the next day. But look at what Jesus does with his next day, right? Verse 35 says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed, right? What did Jesus do after this incredibly, what would have been incredibly exhausting, incredibly long day? He gets up early before everyone else, and he has some alone time with the Father, right? Jesus knew that in order to do his work, he needed to stay connected with the Father. He prayed. He talked with the Father. And this is just one instance, right? If you're to look through the Gospels, if you're to look through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, there are 39 different times where Jesus either practiced or taught on the importance of seeking solitude. He would do all these things. He would seek solitude before he did things. He'd seek solitude in the middle of doing something, or he'd seek solitude after he had just done something in his life to draw people closer to the Father. So as we look at this model of Jesus, we want to seek solitude like Jesus sought solitude, right? It's like the kids were singing up here, we want to go to the rock. Especially when life circumstances are beating around us, we want to go to the rock. Well, first, it's really important to understand that solitude is not simply about being alone, right? Solitude is about being alone with God, right? You were never meant to be alone. You are created for community, right? So in our prison system, what is the worst punishment that we can give to a prisoner? Solitary confinement. Right? That is the worst punishment that we can give to a prisoner. There's a place in Minneapolis, Minnesota called the Orfield Laboratory. It holds the Guinness World Record for the quietest room in the world. If you were to measure it, it rates in at -9 decibels. Now, I don't know how decibels work, but it must be really quiet to be in the negative, right? -9 decibels, right? This is a room where they test other equipment to see how loud the equipment is. But this is a place that if you go into, not only can you hear your heartbeat, you can hear the blood flowing through your veins. It is that quiet. And they allow people to tour this room. But usually after a couple of minutes, people need to leave because they start to go crazy because it's so quiet in there. The longest any person has ever stayed in there by themselves is 45 minutes, right? You were created for community. You were never meant to be alone, ever. So solitude, again, it's not about being alone. It's about being alone with God. And that's what Jesus did. When he was in solitude, he was with the Father, and he was praying, right? What was he doing? Because it's like, well, if I'm just going to be alone with God, what do I do? He was praying. He was talking with the Father. He seeks solitude so he can remove the distractions of the world away from him so that he can focus in on the Father, focus in on the conversations that they have. God speaks when we draw near to him. James 4:8 tells us, James tells us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Right? God wants to spend time with you. He wants to speak to you. But often we have so many other distractions in our lives that we can't hear him. And so that's why we need to seek solitude. Right? Because we all have alone time. We all have time that we don't have scheduled into our day, time that we just sometimes don't know what to do with it. But the question is, how are you spending that time? Are you spending that time with God? Or are you spending that time with the things of this world? Because we often get so enamored with the things of this world that we settle for less than the best. Right? I want to get to the place where David was in the Psalms when he said in Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere." Right? That's what God invites you into. We get to follow after Jesus, to be his disciples, to make a difference in the world and to be in relationship with him. We get to be in a place where it's better to be in his place, in his connection with him for a day. It's better that than to spend 1,000 days anywhere else. There's nothing in this world that can compare to that relationship that we have with the Father. Another important key on solitude is that it's not about clearing our minds, but instead it's about filling our minds with God, right? There are distractions everywhere in this world. I checked the settings on my phone last week as I was preparing for the sermon, and I saw that on average I had 70 notifications per day last week, right? 70 notifications per day. That's a lot of distractions in my day, right? And some of those are important. Some of those are necessary distractions, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them are just keeping me from staying focused. So what are the distractions in your life, right? Is it your phone? Is it something else? What keeps you, more importantly, what are your distractions keeping you from doing? Or how are they distracting you, keeping you from staying focused? A few months ago, I was spending time with my counselor, and we were talking about distractions and my ability to stay focused, and he encouraged me to try to practice meditation, right? And he helped me find an app that would help me focus that, and I love it. But we really need to be careful about meditation, because meditation is a biblical principle. However, the biblical version of meditation has been hijacked by some Eastern religions that take us in the exact opposite direction of where God wants us to go. Right? The goal of Eastern meditation is to empty myself, to completely clear my mind. But that's not at all what God has intended meditation for. Instead, meditation should be about filling your mind with God and with his word. Right? Philippians 4:8 tells us, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Right? Biblical meditation allows us to clear the distractions out of our lives and be able to fill our minds with God and with his word. Right? Solitude allows us to focus on the true things, the honorable things, the pure things, the just things, the lovely things. It helps us to focus in on how God speaks to us. So how do you hear God speak? Well, Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that I am God, right? To be still in God's presence. So all this is good kind of head knowledge. What does that look like? What does it look like to seek solitude in your life? Well, I mentioned during the announcements that we'll have the chapel open this week. Again, Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and then Thursday and Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you want to clear those distractions out of your day, right, clear your distractions out of, maybe you get distracted in your home, maybe you get distracted at work, but want a place where you can kind of get rid of those distractions and just focus on God, that's a great way to do that. But you don't have to go somewhere, right? For me, seeking solitude looks like looks like going to that place that I've set aside and reading God's word, meditating on God's word and spending some time in prayer. It doesn't need to be, I love it doing it in the chapel, but it doesn't need to be in like a holy place. You can find a closet in your room. I know a lot of people who have kind of carved out a closet and said, this is my place where I can get rid of distractions. It can be on your couch. It can be in your bed. Right? It doesn't have to be somewhere special. My wife has started, and I didn't tell her this, so sorry about that, but she started writing Bible verses on note cards and putting them in different places in our house. One of those note cards is in our shower. So when I shower, instead of focusing, instead of kind of replaying that conversation that I had yesterday that got me frustrated, or instead of trying to fill out my to-do list, instead, when I shower, I can be meditating on God's word. I can be reading that psalm over and over and letting God fill me and prepare me for the day ahead. Or maybe when you're on your commute to work. I know a lot of us drive into Omaha and in and out of Omaha every day. What would it look like to have Christian music playing or having an audio version of the Bible or podcasts that help us to focus in on God? And then as you're doing that, praying for people as you pass them along the way. Right? Solitude, it doesn't need to be this 7-day retreat to the mountains to go find God. Right? We're told, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Like I said earlier, these last 2 weeks, we've spent some time prioritizing prayer. We've spent time studying Scripture. When we study Scripture, we really find out who God is. He tells us who He is, and then He also tells us who we are. He tells you who you are in light of who He is, that you are His child. You are someone that He loves so much that He was willing to send His Son to die for you, to forgive you all of your sins, and He wants to be in constant relationship with you and constant communication with you. And that's what prioritizing prayer does. It brings us into communication with Him. We get to spend time speaking to Him and we get to spend time hearing Him speak. So this week, spend some time with God, right? Seek solitude this week. Be intentional about that downtime. Carve out some time in your week to be filled with God each and every day. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Amen.